listen to a pretty all right podcast about wrestling, do ya?
Well, the natural lad, Jim Swag, has said time and time again that there's only one podcast that's the most decent and the most all right in the industry today.
And that's who? It's the Game Raven Wrestling Podcast.
Baby, welcome back to your favorite wrestling podcast, Game Rage Wrestling. My name's Josh. I'm here today with good buddy Adam.
The based and wiener-pilled of all wrestling podcasts.
Yeah, this is the No Curse Minute sponsored by Game Rage Magazine, where we don't cuss for the first minute, so that way we can, you know, get up in the algorithm. But we are going to be on one today. There's going to be, I don't know how long this episode is going to go. It's probably going to be fairly short, but it's going to be... It's going to be a foul mouth fuck fest because
it's going to be a formal, it's going to be a well-written, explicit lyric, explicit wording, strongly worded comment towards the WWE TKO.
And it's going to be because of our good buddy, R-Truth, getting fucking fired.
How could they?
Released.
How could they?
Really? Really, WWE? Right in front of my Epson receipt scanner? You're going to fucking get rid of probably the most tenured wrestler in your company at the moment?
Right in front of my Eddie Guerrero doing a Hurricanrana DDT into a World Heavyweight Championship belt to Brock Lesnar in 2004 at No Way Out?
Yeah, really? You're going to do it right in front of Kurt Angle? Crushing up and then snorting Percocets to fucking dull the pain of his neck injuries and become Perk Angle. Damn it.
Right in front of my 32 suplexes at SummerSlam where Brock Lesnar suplexed John Cena for seemingly hours.
Why, TKO? Why? You son of a bitch. You damn dirty son of a bitch. I don't fucking get this at all. I would venture to say, and this is just a speculative theory, all right? But I would venture to say that they... Oh, man, I'm not even wearing my fucking microphone. It's yelling so loud that people can hear me. I would venture to say that they probably wanted to do this sooner. And I have a feeling the reason why we got this, like, R-Truth story jammed into the John Cena farewell tour, probably because of John Cena. He probably put his foot down and said, nah, man, like... We need to give him one last run. And that's what they did. And they immediately got rid of him. As soon as this one last little storyline was done, they axed him.
You know what was horrible? If that was in fact R-Truth's last match at Saturday night main event, that they didn't even make it a moment for him to lay his boots in the ring. Like if that was gonna be the end, that would indicate that there's nothing else to be done for R-Truth as far as wrestling. If he hangs up his boots in the ring, GG's, and everybody would get it. But they didn't even do that. They just said, we had to hear from R-Truth via
Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, I'm released.
Yeah, they didn't even say anything. Like, that's fucked, man.
I don't even think...
What disrespect, you know?
I don't even think he was probably the most expensive on the roster. He was probably getting paid a pittance compared to everybody because he was, I mean, he's not actively wrestling. He was more of a comedic relief, and every once in a while he get inserted to a storyline. And who knows what he does at house shows? I don't really know what he does at house shows, but I think the dude has earned his due. And for him to be like, you know, you figure this dude was going to be a lifer for the company. And that is evidently not the case because they fucking let him go.
Yeah.
And apparently Carlito has been let go as well.
Really?
Yeah, he's gone too.
What are they? Who are they making room for? This is where I think that they're running into problems. And they're like, okay, we've got these couple veteran guys. They're probably making decent money, but more money than what they should be getting paid for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why they let him go. And now they're fucking like, well, we want to try to suck as much money out of this as we can. And if we're paying, listen, I can't imagine R-Truth and Carlito were making
millions of dollars a year. So, fuck, what are you gonna... That's not fucking hurting your bottom line. You're a multi-billion dollar corporation. Like, that's fucked, man.
That's on top of all the money they've been making with the tax credits from WrestleMania for doing shit in Nevada. And then on top of the numerous events they've been doing in Saudi Arabia in the billions to do. And who knows? And once those events actually roll around, dude, who knows? They might throw another billion just to... They're like, hey, you guys showed up. Nice job. Here's another billion. They can't be fucking hurting for money, dude.
No, they can't. And again, that's because it's that whole thing where, like, private equity, when they come in and buy companies and then they fucking
squeeze
every penny out and they just run it into the ground. And God damn it, if they're not fucking doing that with the WWE, that's exactly what they're doing. And this is another example of that. I mean, dude, R-Truth, it says, was only making $550,000 a year.
That makes sense. That's what I mentally, that's where, yeah, I thought he would be billed at,
which is a great living for somebody, right? And $500,000 is a great money. But and he's just basically providing comedic relief. He takes a couple of bumps here and there. Shit, that's a good deal. And that's not that much money out of their budget. Like, come on, you're not really saving that much fucking money in the grand scheme of things. So I don't like this.
They probably just need an excuse. They're like, well, we're heading in a different direction with a vague and wavy reason.
Yeah. How long do you think R-Truth goes somewhere else? Or do you think he just hangs it up and says, fuck it, I'm just going to retire?
I mean, he's probably done pretty all right for himself. So he doesn't really have anything to prove in the ring unless he just wants to go on one magic sting run in AEW or some other promotion. But who else would he do it with? Unless he, I mean, the funny thing would be for him to go to TNA.
Yeah. which they basically own at this point. So, like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the whole situation is with that, but imagine, R-Truth takes a stab at trying to become world heavyweight champion at TNA, and he magically ends up back in the WWE by proxy, dude.
Dude, honestly, that would be hilarious.
That would be fucking awesome. Like, if he could pull that off, if there is enough value in R-Truth for him to get signed for one last magical contract, do it with TNA,
yeah,
so that he could just stick the middle finger to
now if I'm Billy Corgan or whatever,
yeah,
running TNA over there, if I really do run TNA, all right,
yeah,
I'm calling R-Truth right now, and I'll be like, hey man, what is your non-compete, when is that up? And then I would just be like, let's fucking make a deal right fucking now. And you're going to show up on, like, whatever that day is, the next fucking event we have, you're going to show up and you're going to get a title shot and you're going to win. Because the WWE's been pulling the TNA champion onto WWE TV quite a bit. I mean, you had Joe Hendry, you know, they've been doing that lately. So now, well, what's his name?
Trick Williams,
an NXT superstar, is now the TNA champion. So I have a feeling that if they were to do that, the WWE would just have no choice but to fucking bring R-Truth back. Like, just to bring him on, he'd be on fucking TV. Like,
you know what the best part would be? Is it the irony that he has to actually get paid more because,
yeah,
he's over? And they're like,
right,
God damn it. It was probably cheaper just to keep, yeah, him on board.
At $550. That was probably the cheaper option. Now, yeah, they're going to be fucked. And then what's going to be funny too is he's still going to play that character of R-Truth. Oh, what do you mean? I never left. Like, or you'd be saying, like, whatever, dog, I'm still here. Like, that's what's going to be funny and hilarious is when that happens. Because, man, that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be trying to fuck with AEW unless they wanted to offer R-Truth a fuck ton of money. Then, yeah, fuck it, dude. You go do that for fucking a year or whatever. If they're going to pay you Edge money to go fucking over there or CM Punk money, yeah, fuck it. I would go. But outside of that, I'd say, fuck, man. There's a great storyline to be had by going to TNA.
Yeah, I think so as well.
So anyways, just general bad news and general sadness out of this is happening. And I, you know, it's the state of wrestling right now is kind of fucked.
It's boring. Like.
And something needs to change. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't think it's going to be good because they're just, again, I don't think TKO gives a fuck. I think they're just suctioning trying to suction as much money as they can to get their fuck. What did they pay Vince $4 billion for that shit? They're trying to get their $4 billion back. I feel like. So, anyways, what else you got? You got anything else?
Did we do a wrestling episode already?
About what?
When's the last one we did?
So May 11th. It was about Backlash.
It was Backlash?
Yeah.
Fuck. I guess the only thing I had to add is that there's two things. I don't know if they really ultimately matter, because I still think nothing's going to happen with the Wyatt Six, but the Wyatt Six have been reintroduced on SmackDown, and the reason that they were away for a hot minute is because either Alexa Bliss or what's the other Bo Dallas's real name? It doesn't really matter. Bo Dallas. Yeah. I think they're waiting on one of those two to get the group going again, but I still firmly believe that it's not really going to amount to anything. And any luster or any intrigue that was had within pushing this story about honoring Bray Wyatt's death, or, you know, in the meta, I guess it's lost all its appeal at this point. And dude, I can't believe they're carrying it. And the other thing, the other thread is I feel like Jey Uso has been exposed as a main eventer in the last couple weeks. And if it wasn't already proven with the skill set or the ring ability to begin with,
or the lack thereof,
it was in full display within the promo aspect.
Yeah. Painfully obvious.
So go ahead and do with that what you will.
Just to go back to your Wyatt Six thing. When they did that whole backstage thing on Raw and they had shot Chad Gable in the head or whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
And then did nothing with it. That killed it right there. It was done. That was a cool moment that they could have done something with. And then it just petered out and they did nothing with it.
Hmm.
That was when it died. That was when the Wyatt Six thing died. And now that they're trying to fucking, I don't know, resurrect it is terrible.
Yeah.
It's ass.
And they're also putting it on the B show. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, that tells you they don't give a fuck. So I don't know. Anyways.
Did you have anything on the Jey Uso shit?
No, I agree with that completely. I think that I've been saying that he's great as a tag team wrestler, but as a single star, yeah, I think the IC title was probably the peak he should have been at. I don't think he should be carrying the top belt. I just don't think that's what he should be doing.
I think what it is for me is that everybody has a go-to catchphrase, whether that's The Rock or Stone Cold. And even Jey Uso, to some extent, has one or two lines that he goes to, and there's nothing wrong with that, because everybody has that in their pocket to crowd please or to basically be their signature when it comes to promos, right?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you have to be able to cut a promo at length, whether that's off the cuff or scripted. You got to deliver, and evidently them running back what they did with Gunther and Jey Uso for the upcoming, is it Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
That was not Jey Uso at his best. And I don't know what the fuck he was actually getting at, that he knew Gunther like inside and out, if that was kind of the gist of the conversation, but it did not build any anticipation or hype for the match itself, and especially because of the fact that they've already ran it for, I think at this point it's been 4 times that they've ran that match.
Yeah.
And Gunther hasn't even gotten a rematch clause, which I'm guessing is this in match coming up, but nonetheless, like, man, Jey Uso resorting to saying oos after every other word, and then at some point 4 letters, 1 word, yeet, exposed, man. We're talking a fraudulent champion in every facet possible. I think we can expect a title flip by SummerSlam or at SummerSlam, call it a wrap, and to build back the credibility, whatever's left of the credibility in terms of the World Heavyweight Championship, it's got to be passed on to somebody else, because this ain't cutting it for me.
Yeah, well, I firmly believe Seth Rollins is going to get that belt probably by SummerSlam, because they're going to have this group probably fleshed out by then. And somehow Seth Rollins is going to fucking end up getting the belt. Because that's what they're going to need to do. This group needs to dominate, and they need to have the belt. So that's my opinion. But anyways, I guess that's it. You got anything else?
I have plenty, but it looks like you're the one that...
Oh, no, go ahead. If you got more to say, let's keep going.
Well, I mean, if for the change of subject, I guess you could talk about the new stable that is being created with Seth Rollins called The Vision. Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker.
Yeah. I don't know if The Vision is the best fucking name for that, but whatever, it is what it is. There's got to be a fourth guy, though. I don't know who that's fucking going to be. I feel like these three aren't, they're not enough. They need one more fucking dude. Because Paul Heyman's not a wrestler, so he's just a manager. So you got to have, I think, four fucking guys. You can have one guy be the champ, one guy be the IC champion, and then the other two guys can be the tag team champion. So you need to have some other guy be the tag team champion with Bronson fucking Reed.
And I don't know if this is directly been implied or there's something odd about the group that doesn't work for me. One, it's the Bronson Reed putting aside his beef with Seth Rollins back in Crown Jewel or whatever match they had in Saudi Arabia. Seemingly putting aside all things to create the stable to, I mean, maybe that's a sign of maturity from both their ends, but I don't know if it was explained that way, if we were supposed to take that away from Paul Heyman's words. And also just generally, I don't know if it feels like three guys that are in a group as opposed to, how do I word it? When Evolution came about, it felt more like a family.
Yeah, like a cohesive unit.
Like a fraternity.
Yeah.
And this is just three guys that have been shoved in together to seemingly take over the WWE wrestling world.
I think that's because the build to Evolution was a lot slower. It was Triple H, then kind of Ric Flair being like kind of a hanger on and like, you know, being like his manager, right?
Yeah, or fucking, yeah.
And then they did that for like, I don't know, that was for like 7-8 months before Evolution came about. And then they slowly added in Randy Orton and Batista.
Yeah.
And they did those vignettes. They did those promos of them like taking him to go buy suits and like, All those backstage vignettes of Flair, like showing them how to fucking woo party and blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they felt like a cohesive unit, because they were like Triple H and Flair were literally showing these guys the ropes in front of us. Like we were getting to see that, right?
Yeah.
We're not really getting that with this. This is just, it was a quick throw together. It was Paul Heyman turning on Roman Reigns and CM Punk, joining Seth Rollins. And then literally immediately after that, Bron Breakker joins, and then very shortly to immediately after that, we get this Bronson Reed join. So it's like all within the span of like what, 50 days
from WrestleMania? Well,
from WrestleMania till now, like so 60 days basically. Well, when that happened, that was probably about two months.
Let's just say 2 months.
So that's like a fucking quick burn. Like that storyline didn't have enough time to percolate. It does feel like it's just them throwing together some assholes. Is what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, because even the concept of Evolution in name is cool because we're talking about the past, the present, and the future. The past in Ric Flair, the present in Triple H, and the future in both Batista and Randy Orton.
Right.
Versus this, which is like a watered-down version of that, where we've only been bombarded with the word the future.
Yeah.
And Bron Breakker is the future, and I guess... Bronson Reed to some degree, but it's more of a vague veneer than it is like a well thought out concept.
That's kind of, and like kind of with Randy Orton and Batista, they were both relatively kind of unknowns. They've been on the roster for a little while, but like they got a makeover. They weren't really anybody. They were nobodies and they weren't really over. Nobody really liked them. And then you kind of like bring them in to this group and now they're given like this makeover. Well, they haven't really done anything with these guys. Yeah, they're wearing black or whatever now. Like, I mean,
It's also only just started. So that's to be determined with how this progresses. But this is like my minutia of an interest within any storyline as far as the WWE goes, between both SmackDown and Raw. I'm like, all right, I got to see where this goes. But I like, it's just the most minute bit of attention that it has captured. And the other thing is like finding out where, what they go ahead and do with Jacob Fatu on SmackDown. Cause they're seemingly teasing that the break off from the Bloodline, all that shit, just going solo, no pun intended. that's imminent that we're going to get a solo or singles run. So that's more or less what we had to talk about for this episode. So,
it was a good time. Anyways, we're not going to do in honor of R-Truth's firing, out of respect, we're not going to do an outro. We're going to take a moment of silence and then the episode is just going to end. So if you didn't like it, go fuck yourselves.